Turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're seeing truths from Hebrews 11 dealing with the subject of faith, and we're seeing men and women who lived out their faith, and the goal, of course, is to be the same for us, that we would be men and women who live our lives based on the Word of God. And we said this, that faith is such an important subject, and think about it, think about the whole idea, we approach God by faith. In other words, our salvation is by grace through faith. We're not of our own, we're saved alone by faith, and so we approach God by faith, but then we live the Christian life by faith. So that's why the whole issue of Hebrews chapter 11 is people who believed God. Not only were they saved, but then they lived out what God told them to do, and we want to be the same thing. We want to do the same thing. This morning, we're seeing a famous man, and it's Noah. And Noah and the flood, and we call it the work of faith because God comes to him and basically says, here's what I want you to do. And Noah does exactly what God tells him to do. And we'll see some great things as we go through it this morning. Well, let me just start off by saying this. You know, that when we talk about salvation, when we talk about the eternal life salvation message, we know it's very simple, that Jesus Christ came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, conquering death, and gives eternal life as a gift to anyone who believes. So whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It is a message of grace. It is not works. It is simply through faith. Sometimes when you proclaim clearly the grace message of salvation, sometimes people misunderstand, and sometimes they think works are involved, and they'll criticize us. They'll say, you're not telling people enough. You need to tell people they have to obey God and to serve God to be saved. And that's not true. Salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. Works have nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a gift apart from our works. But let's be clear as this. As those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and we have eternal life, we are to do good deeds, and we are to do good works. It's not to be saved. It's not to stay saved. It's not to even prove that we're saved. We're to do good works because we are saved. We are created in Christ Jesus, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So when we see Noah, and we call him this the work of faith, we're seeing Noah as a righteous believer who does what God tells him to do. And as those who have come to God simply by faith alone in Christ alone, didn't cost us a thing, we are to live out our salvation. And we are to do good works so that people can see that we're different, so that we can give them the grace message of salvation. As we've been seeing the study, we've been seeing a number of things. First of all, we've been seeing that faith is taking God at his word. That's what it is. When people talk about faith, faith is simply being persuaded that what God says is true. We take God at his word. We then said that walking by faith or living by faith is taking the truths and principles found in the word of God and basing our lives on them, which ultimately is pleasing to God, which we've been seeing in Hebrews chapter 11. As we continue going down the Hall of Fame of Faith, we've already seen several examples, and this morning is the fourth example. Let me show you what we've seen so far. We've seen creation of faith. We've seen in the sense that God created the heavens and the earth. It says by faith, we take it that God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. And then we saw the sacrifice of faith, which was in verse 4, where Abel brought a sacrifice of faith. He came with a blood sacrifice, trusting God. Then last week, we saw the walk of faith. Enoch, a man who walked with God, who maintained a close fellowship with God, and God took him off the face of the earth. We call that the walk of faith. Well, this morning, we're calling this the work of faith because it deals with Noah. Now, Noah's famous. We all know it. We talk about the ark and the big boat and all of those things. And we're going to talk about it this morning. Let me break down the verse. In fact, we're only looking at one verse, but here's the breakdown of the verse. We call it the act of faith. And what he did is he prepared the ark and they had not even seen the flood yet. The reason he did that was he had been warned by God in his reverence for God and the salvation of his household. And then the third part of the verse is the results of faith. What happened? He condemned the world and he became an heir of righteousness. We'll explain what all that means as we go through it. But that verse, even though it's one verse, it has all of that in there. And we'll see it and we'll break it down, of course, and go fairly quickly. Let's start with what we call the act of faith. What did he do? Notice what it says, verse 7, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. If you notice, it starts off in the same way that all the verses do in this, most of the verses do in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Noah, by faith. And if you look a little bit further on, it says, faith is taken as true as what God says. So it says, by faith, Noah, here's what he did. What did he do? It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, here's what he did. He prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. By faith, he built the ark. And when you think of the ark, you need to realize that it was a big boat. Sometimes in some children things, you'll see this little boat, you know, and it's kind of floating there, and giraffe's heads are sticking out, and, you know, everybody's all happy and everything, and it was real cute, but it wasn't like that at all. In fact, it wasn't a little boat. It was like an ocean liner. In fact, it was 450 feet long. That's a football field and a half long. So picture how long that was. It was 75 feet wide. It was almost five stories high. So if you had seen the ark, you'd have gone, oh my gracious alive. This is it was like a big box. It was like a barge is what it was. It was a big barge is what it was. It was, by the way, it was three stories, had three different levels. It had areas and places to hold the animals, the food, to stay. It has been estimated that if you took the tonnage and the use, how much area was in there, that over 522 train box cars full of animals could have easily fit on the ark. In fact, when I did the study on creation evolution and we talked about the flood and all those kind of things, we found that if you put all of the species of the animals, two of all the kinds on the ark, it wouldn't even be but 20% full. So when people start saying, oh, how did they get all those animals on there? How did they get all that on there? The ark was so big, and they took two of each of the animals, and there were some animals they took some of that they were going to sacrifice, so they took more than two, but because you've studied that, and we've studied that before. But this is an amazing ship. It's a big old barge, three stories high, had a window going all the way around it so that there'd be ventilation. And three different decks, and all these animals. And we'll talk a little bit later in the study, in just a morning, about how did they get all those animals there, and what happened to all those animals, and how long were they on the boat? Because if you said how long were they on the ark, everybody goes 40 days. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. They were on the ark much longer than 40 days, and we'll talk more about it in just a minute. But notice what it says: by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. There's a point that sometimes we don't always understand. It says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen. What had not been seen? You know what had not been seen? First of all, the flood aspect, but it had not rained. The flood. Most likely at this time it never rained. In fact, if when you read the book of Genesis and you start seeing the first parts of it, that water would come up and a mist would come up every evening and water the ground. It had may never rained. In fact, if you've studied carefully the creation story, there is this canopy of cloud cover, water above the earth and water on the earth and water underneath the earth. And the best that we can tell up until Genesis 6, until all this happens, it had not ever rained. Water would just come up, or mist would come up at night. And so there's this giant cloud cover. They called it a canopy, which was above the earth. God actually says to Noah, I'm going to bring a flood on this earth. He might have even said, I'm going to cause it to rain. The water's going to fall from the sky. The water's going to come up out of the ground, and it's going to flood the earth. Noah could have said, what is rain? What are you talking about? What do you mean water is going to fall from out of the sky? But he didn't say, I don't believe you. He said, being warned about things not yet seen. He said, if you say that water is going to come down, if you say that water is going to come up, if you say you're going to destroy the earth, then I'm going to do exactly what you tell me. It is very clear, and we'll see it more in just a little bit, that the message that God gave to Noah was not that there's going to flood in your neighborhood. It was there was going to be a worldwide flood, and everything that had the breath of life, every animal and every person that breathed, was going to die on the face of the earth. That's what the message was. And by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared the ark. Why? for the salvation of his household. He took it by faith. Can you imagine Noah? And he had three sons and his wife and their three wives, so there were eight people. And by the way, if you think Noah built this thing in like 15, how long has it taken to build ours? It's going to take 15 months. We're going, wow, 15 months. Well, it took Noah 120 years. If you go to the back of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, it says he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. He proclaimed a message. Noah proclaimed the message that the flood was coming and they needed to believe God, and nobody did. And so he is the one that is building this big old boat, and people would come up to him and say, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a big old boat because there's a big flood coming. All the water's coming out of the sky. It's going to flood. God's going to judge the earth because of the wickedness of man. You need to believe with me and help me build this, and let's get on this thing. And they made fun of him. I'm sure they made fun of him. And sometimes when you do things for God, people make fun of you. When you're some young people who say, I'm not going to have sexual relations till I'm married, people make fun of you. When you say that I'm going to choose my family over some kind of job offer that might be more money, but then I'd be gone from my family, and some people say, well, you're just wasting all your talents. Some people say, well, I want to go into ministry, but you can make more money doing this. Noah, by faith, built an ark, an act of faith. He built the ark. He took God at his word. Now, why did he do it? Let's look at the second part. Let's call it the reason of faith. Why did he do that? And it's three things. Watch. He was warned by God because of his reverence of God and for the salvation of his family. Let's look first at the first thing. A, he was warned by God. Notice the verse again. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Let's see it. Hold your place in Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 6. Go all the way back to the first of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 6, and I want you to see something. Take just a second. Turn back there. Genesis 6. Now, here's what we find. After mankind was created, after the fall, and then after Cain and Abel and Seth, and people begin to multiply on the face of the earth, there began to be all kind of wickedness. And man began to be wicked and wicked and more and more and more. And listen to what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts of his heart were evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I'm going to blot out man whom I've created on the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things to the birds of the sky, for I'm sorry that I made them. He's basically saying, I'm going to deal with wickedness of man. But notice something in verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The word favor there is the idea of grace. It's the idea that God looks down, sees Noah, and says, I've decided not to destroy everyone. There's one there. Now notice, we're gonna see that Noah found grace, but what we're gonna see about Noah is what he was like. Look at the next verse. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Notice how he is described. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. There are three things there. It says he was a righteous man. That means he was a believer. Righteousness comes by faith. He had believed that there was a coming Messiah. He had believed the same thing that Adam and Eve had been taught, that the seed of woman was going to come and crush the head of the serpent. He understood that a Savior was coming, and so he is righteous because he's a believer. Second, it says he was blameless in all his time. That means he maintained his fellowship with God. And the third thing, it says he walked with God, and that means he had a close fellowship with God. Now, let me tell you something. There's only two people, we said, in the Bible that walked with God, that are said to have walked with God. One was Enoch, that we saw last week, and this is Noah that we see this week. He was righteous. And what do we learn about him? He's righteous. He walked with God, and he maintained his fellowship. Now, I want you to see the warning. Look at verse 13. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. And then he says, do this. Make for yourself, notice, for yourself, an ark of gopher wood. That's hardwood. You shall make the ark with rooms. You shall cover it inside and out with pitch. Pitch was like tar. Pitch was say, fix it so it won't leak. And so you're going to build this ark, this big boat, basically, is what you're going to build. And then he describes it in verse 15. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark will be 300 cubits. Its breadth will be 50 cubits. And its height will be 30 cubits. A cubit is about 18 inches. And so it's about 450 feet long. It's 75 feet wide. It's 45 feet tall. This is an ocean liner is what it is. It's gigantic. It's bigger than you can imagine. It would just fill up the parking lot out there. Just think of the football field that's out there. It would be all the way across the football field and then like another half of a football field. It's that big. And here's what he says. You shall make, Lotus, a window for the ark and finish it a cubit from the top. Set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with a lower, second, and third decks. It's three decks. It's got a window all the way around. It's got a door so they can come in. And then here's what he says. Behold, I, even I, am bringing the flood of the water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on earth shall perish. There is the warning. But he says something. I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Eight people. Build this giant barge. And I'm going to take you and your wife and your three sons and their three wives, and we're going to get some animals, and we're all going to get on this thing because I'm going to destroy the rest of the world. Look what he did, verse 22. Thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. So he did it. He did what God told him to do. That's why he's a man of faith. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame of faith. That's why when God said, I want you to build this boat that is just gigantic, he said, okay, I believe you. I believe that a flood is coming. I believe that you're going to destroy the earth. The second key thing, as we said, not only was he warned, but it was reverence of God. Oh, was that? Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. I'm glad. Yeah, go ahead and go back. The ark, by the way, I skipped right over that. But the ark is really a picture of salvation. Because, see, the only way that those eight people could be saved is they had to believe God and get into the ark. They had to build it, first of all, and then get into it. The only way that any human being can ever have eternal life salvation is to believe in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. He is the refuge. He is our refuge and our Savior. That's the only way. So in the same way that the ark would save Noah and his family in a physical way, Jesus Christ is the one that saves us in a spiritual way. The second aspect was his reverence to God. And that passage back in Hebrews said, in reverence to God. See, he walked with God. He knew God. See, it's one thing for us to talk about God and say, I read the Bible and everything, and it talks about God. He knew God. And see, we know God as a Savior, but we also can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we grow in knowing him, in reverence to God, and understanding who he is. And the truth is, the closer we get to God, the greater picture we see of who he is and what he has done. Then there's the third thing, and that was for, I think, the next slide. The salvation of his family. The plan was to save his family. Listen, I'll guarantee you that Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, they were so glad that their father found grace in the eyes of the Lord. They were so glad that their father was a faithful man who said, boys, we're fixing to build this giant thing. It's going to be 450 feet long, and it's going to be 75 feet wide, and it's going to be 45 feet high, and we're going to build three decks and a big window and everything. We're going to do all of this because God is going to destroy the world. It's a good thing for these guys that their daddy believed God. That's why he's a man of faith. See, he did this for the salvation of his family. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 17 again. He says, behold, I am bringing the flood of the waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh, which is every breath of life from heaven. And everything that is on the earth shall perish, but I will establish my covenant with you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Notice, though, and of every living thing of all flesh, You shall bring two of every kind in the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. And so we get this picture that he's going to get these animals, all of the animals on the earth. Now, the ones that need breath, like the fish and those kind of things that lived in water, they didn't get any of those. Only the ones that have the breath of life, only the ones that couldn't survive when the flood came. He's going to get the animals. In verse 19 again, he says, and you shall bring all of animals also. 1 Peter 3:10 talks about that. It says, eight persons were led safely through the ark. Jesus is the place of safety. Now, let me ask you a question. I've had people come up to me and say, I just don't think that's possible because I don't think there's any way that Noah could go get all those animals. I mean, think about it. You're going to try to sneak up on a couple of lions? I mean, how are you going to get them? And what about giraffes? And what about animals all over the place? And there's so many kind of animals. He could never find them all. That's right. He didn't have to find them. Notice the next verse. Of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after the kind, of every creeping thing on the ground after its kind, two of every kind, what does it say? Will come to you to keep them alive. Noah didn't go. He wasn't bring them back alive. They came to him. He just looked up, and all of a sudden, as that ark was being completed, animals, two by two, begin to come. That's amazing. You say, oh, come on. It's the Bible. It's what it says. God's word is truth. They came to him, and he put them on that ship. And by the way, if you go over to chapter 7, look at chapter 7, verse 6. Look what it says. Now, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the water came upon the earth, and Noah and his sons and his sons' wives and him entered the ark because of the water of the flood, and then they took the animals and everything with them. You may say, and we're not going to take all the time to read it because we're running out of time, but I want you to understand something. They entered, God told them when to go in. They entered in, they took all the animals in, they were there for a week. Before the flood started, he put them in, he closed the door. They were on the ark for a week. The flood started. For 40 days and 40 nights, the rain fell out of the canopy into the earth. Water came up out of the ground, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. That wasn't the end. For the next 150 days, the water rose 150 days until it was completely above every mountain on the earth, and everyone that had breath died. They stayed on the ark totally, and if you read the scripture, and you can find it in Genesis chapter 7, by the time the water subsided, they had been on the ark 377 days. A Jewish year is 360 days. They were on it 377 days. The flood lasted 110 days, but they went on it a week before the flood, so they were on it 377 total days from the time they went on it till the time they came off. So when you hear 40 days, 40 nights, that was the flood. It took 150 days for the water to reach the tops of the mountains. It was an amazing event. Now, I've got something that you might have never heard. You remember we talked about Enoch? And we talked about Enoch's had a son. Enoch, who walked with God last week, had a son named Methuselah. What do we know about Methuselah? Oldest man in the Bible, right? 969 years. Do you know what his name means? It means, when he is gone, it shall come. That's what the name Methuselah means. When he is gone, it shall come. What do you think when he is gone, it shall come is talking about? The flood. Do you realize if you take the years in the Bible from the time Methuselah was born to the 969 years that he died the year that Noah entered the ark. When Methuselah died, when he dies, it will come. The flood came. That's scripture. It's amazing. Let's take us to the last part. And the last part is the results of faith. What happened? Who did it affect? It affected the world. It condemned the world. And it affected Noah. He was the heir of righteousness. Go ahead and turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. And we want to see how it affected the world. Hebrews 11, verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen. Here he is warned about the flood that he hadn't seen, in reverence, because he's warned, and his reverence, he prepared an ark by faith, a work of faith, for the salvation of his household. He saved his family, these animals. And what happened when he did that? By which? By doing this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now, he condemned the world means he showed that the world didn't believe. See, for 120 years in building that ark, he would tell people, there is a flood coming. There is a judgment coming on the earth. You must believe God. You must help me build this. You must get on this with me. And they did not. And the best that we know, it was only 8 on that ark. 1 Peter tells us only 8. The Bible tells us that Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives, that's who got on the ark. It condemned the world. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, proclaiming the truth. They didn't believe. By the way, Romans 8, 1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. When you believe, there'll never be condemnation. But this, the world was condemned because they didn't believe. Now, the second thing was Noah was an heir of righteousness. Now, this doesn't mean he got righteousness from God. He already had righteousness from God because he was already righteous by faith. To be an heir of righteousness is referring to rewards. It's referring to that when he was faithful to do what God had for him to do, God rewarded him. How did God reward him? He gave him a new world. He gave him a new world. Do you remember when they came off that ark? And first of all, they sent a bird out and came back, and then sent a bird out and then didn't come back, and then they waited longer and waited another week, and finally they went off. And when they went off, the world was beautiful. It was dry. It was a new start. Listen, when you think about our world today, and you see the wickedness in the world, it's a fallen world, right? I mean, it's a fallen world. It's not what it was in Noah's day. God said the wickedness of man, didn't say some men, it said mankind is evil, what? Continually. We can't even grasp the wickedness of the world in the time of Noah. I mean, we look at it now and we say, well, it's pretty bad. There's people out there cutting people's heads off. There's people blowing up people. There's people, all kinds of stuff everywhere. There's people stealing stuff. There's people murdering stuff. I mean, it's a bad world. It's not as bad as it was at the flood. And so he says that he is an heir of righteousness. And so when we think about what he did, he believed God. And so what did he do? We see this work of faith in Hebrews 11, 7. What does he do? Next slide. By faith, Noah built an ark, not even seeing the flood yet. Why did he do this? Being warned by God in his worship of God and the salvation of his family. The world was condemned because they didn't believe, and he was a righteous man who received rewards. So let me give you some applications. And of course, as we'll continue next week, we're going to start with Abraham, and we're going to see this great man and see what he did. He's a man of faith as well. But let's see, let's live out our faith. I mean, that's really the key, isn't it? Live out who we are. Live out our faith. We call it the work of faith. When you live out your faith, it's a work of faith because you're saying, I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm going to believe the things that God tells me. I'm going to live by the Scripture. And so A is, what do? We obey the Word of God. We live out the truths, principles, and commands in our lives. As those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, what are we supposed to do with our lives? We say, I want to live according to the Word of God. I want to obey it. I want to be a person of faith. I want to live it out. Why should we do that? Because there's warnings. Because the Bible basically says that if you sin as a believer, there'll be discipline, there'll be consequences. We call it sowing and reaping. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about eternal life salvation or going to hell or going to heaven. We're talking about believers. Our responsibility is to live by the Bible. If not, there will be consequences, because when we don't obey the Word of God, God disciplines his children. Now, let me just say this. There are also consequences for the unbeliever. The unbeliever's consequences is that if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you'll be separated forever. Okay? We're not talking about living a good life or anything. Jesus died and rose again. He offers the gift of eternal life. And for the unbeliever, the only thing a person has to do is trust Christ as Savior. It's not works or righteousness or goodness or anything. in this passage, we're talking about believers and the warning there for us, sowing and reaping. And then the last thing, the results will be rewards. When we live righteously and godly as children of God, when you stand before your Savior, what will He say to us? We hope, well done, what? Good and faithful servant. And that's what we want to hear. May we be men and women who do the work of faith as we obey God's word, living differently from a fallen world.